welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Michael.
You know, we've had a decade or two of back and forth looking at how we can screen for lung cancer. There's been a lack of mortality benefit from using normal chest x-rays. Then we've tried to refine CT scanning, and that's led to the evaluation of low-dose helical computerized tomography for lung cancer screening, and that seems to be somewhat promising. There are a number of professional guidelines that endorse this LDCT, they call it, for lung cancer, particularly in selected populations who are at high risk. I don't think I know of anybody that's suggesting that we do it, broad-based population screening, but primarily people that are high risk, and that means people that have a history of smoking. The National Lung Screening Trial, the NLST, was a large, high-quality randomized trial in which these high-risk individuals were screened. Results were published maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and they indicated a rather significant reduction in lung cancer mortality with screening, I think 20 or 25%. Well, low-dose CT refers to a non-contrast study obtained with a CT scanner during a single maximum inspiratory breath hold with a scanning time of 20 or 25 seconds. The benefits are that radiation is far less than with conventional scanners. It still is slow to take off. You found a poem this week. It's from the Journal of the American Board of Family Medicine. It was published in 2016. It starts on page 152. The question that the article attempts to answer is, how often do adults who undergo lung cancer screening with low-dose computerized tomography, how often do they require additional screening? Mark, what did they find in that? What did they do?
Yeah, this was a great study, and I think I would encourage our listeners to think about doing this or asking these questions in their communities and, talking to the folks at the local hospital. What are the results of your, because they're required now, if you're going to be doing this kind of screening and getting paid by Medicare, you're required to keep track of how many patients are getting imaging, how many patients are getting a biopsy, how many patients are diagnosed with cancer. And, we should be tracking this and there are going to be larger efforts to track it, but I think in our own communities, it's worth looking at. Yeah. This came from a group of family physicians. I just noticed the lead author, Dean Seehusen, nicknamed Bulldog, former or current military doc, I think, and really great guy and a good researcher. So yeah, and I have to add the disclaimer, I just rolled off the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. I'm still in a consulting year with them, so what I'm saying here does not reflect the opinions and blah, blah, blah of the USPSTF. Anyway, we gave a B recommendation to annual lung cancer screening for adults 55 to 79 who had at least 30 pack years of smoking and who were either still smoking or quit in the past 15 years. This was based mainly, as you said, on the NLST, which was a large, adequately powered trial. It found a number needed to screen to prevent one lung cancer death of about 300 and one all-cause death of about 200. If you know anything about screening, finding there's really nothing else that's been shown, no other screening test has ever been shown to reduce all-cause mortality in a randomized trial. So that was pretty remarkable. The number needed to screen of 300 is much better than that, even for things like mammography, and similar to or even better than that for colorectal cancer screening. So controversial. Our big concern is how it gets rolled out, and that's what this is addressing. So they looked at a local hospital, and they looked at 1 year worth of screening, and they found about 150 people got low-dose CT of the chest. 94 of them were for screening purposes, so they limited their analysis to those 94 patients. Of those, 22 out of 94 didn't meet the screening guideline criteria, so 15 were too young, one was too old, three didn't smoke enough, two didn't smoke at all and hadn't smoked at all, which is pretty remarkable. Maybe they were bartenders and were concerned about secondhand smoke or something, but didn't fit into the guidelines. Of the 72 cases that did meet the screening criteria, 40% required additional imaging based on the initial scan results, which is a much higher rate than was seen in the NLST. About half of the imaging was for nodules less than 4 millimeters in diameter, which shouldn't trigger additional imaging. NLST has a really detailed algorithm. You can go online and find it. It's in an appendix to the original publication in the New England Journal. And there's like 3 pages of detailed flowcharts to say exactly how do you work up every abnormality. And it's designed to minimize the number of scans and minimize biopsies and minimize surgeries. And if you ignore that, you're going to get into a world of hurt with, over-imaging, excessive radiation exposure, excessive number of biopsies, chasing incidental lomas. And so it's really important that your local group doing this is following that NLST protocol to the letter. And so that would be a question to ask, you know, what protocol are you using? What kind of results are you getting? So the bottom line is, in this community hospital study, more than 1 in 5 patients who underwent screening didn't meet the specific criteria recommended by the USPSTF. They also were much more likely to get additional imaging than in the original NLST trial, suggesting that imaging was being ordered unnecessarily and exposing patients to potential harm. So I think it's important that we, again, talk to the folks in our community, talk to the radiologists or pulmonologists who are running these services, and find out what their track record is, and are we comfortable with it.
Do you know what the barriers, Mark, why they weren't meeting the criteria?
So in terms of the criteria, there were, I think, 15 were too young, 1 was too old, 3 didn't smoke enough.
So they have to do, the criteria have to do with the patient population.
That's right.
Screening, not with technical capabilities.
Right, yeah. Basically, did they meet the criteria that the task force recommended screening, and which was taken from the NLST trial? So did they look like the patients in the NLST? And the NLST patients overall were somewhat, I think, younger than a lot. Most of them were under 70, and so there weren't a lot of patients in the NLST over 70. And, there have been some other studies looking at, can we narrow down who really is most likely to benefit? And an easy way to do that, and I think we didn't have this data when we made the recommendation. I think the recommendation might have looked a little different had we had it, but basically people who are current smokers are much more likely to benefit. It's very cost effective. People who are former smokers, very unlikely, very non-cost effective. So on the task force, we don't look at cost. But even if you look in the number of scans needed to detect one cancer, that kind of thing, really, I think focusing on people who are current smokers, and the age group was 60 to 69. So, that's really the sweet spot. So if we have patients in our practice who are in their 60s, who are current smokers, that's who really has the most potential benefit from this.
So Mark, if a patient gets referred for one of these low-dose CAT scans and they're not in an appropriate category, is it the radiologist's responsibility to say that you're not in an appropriate and contact the PCP, or do they just go ahead and do it and assume that it was the PCP's responsibility?
Yes. I think it would be the responsibility. I mean, we both have a responsibility. We shouldn't be sending patients in.
Right.
In some cases, though, patients are likely self-referring. They may not be getting a referral at all. They may just be seeing the ad on the billboard or seeing the ad in the newspaper and coming in on their own volition. So, yeah, clearly the radiologist should be a gatekeeper for this. Medicare won't pay for it unless they get counseling, unless they document that they meet the criteria. But if someone has private insurance, they may, get it. Or if the patient says, yeah, I had a little bit of a cough. Okay, well, it's no longer screening. We can go ahead and scan you, things like that. So there may be ways that people are trying to get around this.
Excellent. Mark, we'll talk with you again next week. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.